Hi!
Hey.
Welcome to a special episode of The Cordial Catholic. This is what I normally call a patrons-only after-show, a behind-the-scenes look at The Cordial Catholic that is offered to patrons of this show at patreon.com/cordialcatholic. I thought this episode I'll offer up in the main feed to give you a taste of what you could have if you were a patron, too. Any patron who helps to underpin this show, even $1 or $2 a month, has access to this podcast, the patron-only after-show, and I produce it as often as I can. You'll hear in this episode sneak peek of some guests that are coming up and some behind-the-scenes stuff going on at The Cordial Catholic. Patrons that give $5 or more every month are entered automatically into draws for free books. I don't put them in books, I promise. Entered into free draws for free books every single month. And patrons who can give $15 or more in the highest tier, have unlimited access to me and to the show to help produce the show, help to choose guests, help to give me questions for guests, and help to pick topics as well. That's all at patreon.com/cordialcatholic. And thank you to my patrons who help underpin this whole thing. All that money goes into production costs, into hosting costs, equipment costs, and all those kinds of things that help to keep this show going and help to keep this show growing and reaching new people every single week. Access to episodes like this is just a small taste of what those patrons get. So have a listen and consider supporting this show as well. If you can, in the least, leave a rating or a review of this podcast. That helps to push the podcast out to new people. And please do pray for me and pray for our listeners as well. I'm humbled, I'm grateful to every week be able to do this show, so thank you. And thank you to my patrons who help make that possible. You guys are incredible, and I'm blessed every single day. And I pray for you too. Thanks, guys. Here's our special patrons-only sneak peek after show in the main feed. Bonus episode this week. Please do listen and enjoy. Here we go.
Thank you for supporting my daddy. This is a special podcast just for you. Please listen and enjoy.
Hey friends, welcome to this special Patrons Only After Show. I think this is episode number 8 or so, maybe episode number 9. I should have checked before I hit the record button, shouldn't I? Anyway, welcome. This is another episode of the special Patrons Only After Show, and I give you all kinds of stuff to look forward to. Some sneak peeks of some guests coming up and some things going on behind the scenes. Let's start with some guests that are coming up on the show. Just give you a little bit of a heads up what's coming up. I am sitting down actually on Monday, the 16th of November. This is being recorded on the 14th of November. Looking at my phone here for the date. And I'm chatting with Ralph Martin. His new book is all about the crisis in the church. So our conversation is all about, well, is there a crisis in the church? It's a really interesting book. It's not a topic I'd normally tackle on this show, maybe, necessarily. It's a little, I don't know, controversial or edgy, maybe. But I'm looking forward to speaking to him. I have some great questions for him to kind of push back against maybe a bit of his thesis, to challenge it a bit. I know, as a convert, you guys who are converts listening to the show know this. You know, we become Catholic because we're entering a church that is unified under the Pope, under the papacy and the magisterium, that looks like the early church, that looks like the church that Christ passed on to us. And so to hear that church is in crisis, there's a problem with the church, I don't know, that gets my back up a little bit, makes me a bit concerned that maybe we're overstating things. And so it's a fantastic book, and it'll be a great discussion as we kind of unpack what's going on in the church and how we as Catholics can really address that and be the church, be the salt and the light in the world, be the hands and feet of Christ as the church in a real way, in spite of maybe a crisis and challenges. And honestly, we know that there are problems in the church. We're not going to deny that. So That's coming up shortly. That'll be in a couple of episodes, depending on when you're listening to this episode here, in the main feed or as a patron. Because I am releasing this in the main feed as well, just as a little bonus incentive, a thing for non-patrons to listen to and enjoy and consider becoming a patron. So if that's you listening, hello. Consider it, would you, please? So that's coming up soon. I'm recording that interview on the 16th of November. It'll be fantastic. And I'm going to give away Ralph Martin's fantastic new book as well to the draw for December, I think, will be Ralph Martin's new book on the crisis in the church. So if you're a $5 or more a month patron, that'll be a draw that you'll be entered into as well. So that's exciting. I'm also speaking to a number of other guests, and I have some clips to play for you too, but I want to tell you first, I have a bunch of priest guests coming up. I have a whole smattering of priests on the docket that will be released in December and into January as well. I am talking to Father Joshua Caswell coming up on the show. Funny enough, amazing enough, I met Father Joshua through an evangelical friend of mine, Austin Suggs, the creator, the proprietor of the Gospel Simplicity channel on YouTube. It's becoming wildly popular. Austin is an amazing evangelical, an awesome guy, a good friend now, I'm happy to say, who's checking out the Catholic faith and the Orthodox faith and these ancient faiths. And he met the priest of St. John Cassius Church there in Chicago. Happened to be a church he kind of walked down the block to. And met this amazing priest who ends up being a convert himself, a Canadian Pentecostal convert to Catholicism. So him and I have a lot in common, because I'm also a Canadian Pentecostal convert to Catholicism, not a priest. I'm married with kids, but he's a priest, and I'm really excited to chat with him. You know, you have these conversations that you look forward to on the podcast, and some you'll even look more forward to, and I'm really looking forward to talking to Father Joshua, because we're going to have a lot in common, for one thing, and I love these conversion stories, especially these stories of somebody who goes from a faith that I was a part of, and a lot of listeners to this program would have been or are a part of, who then becomes a priest, who goes so far as to become a priest. And he's, I believe, the youngest, or one of the youngest, heads of a religious order as well in the world, which is amazing. He's the head of the canons. I forget their actual name, and I'll have to learn that before I interview him. But they're an order of canons, I think, that live at St. John Cassius and work on liturgical renewal. Is their charism. It's fantastic. So looking forward to speaking to him. That'll be an awesome discussion. I'm also going to speak to Father Scott Woolen, I think his name is. I should look at that up before I started talking about him. I just emailed him recently. He had an article in the Coming Home Network's most recent newsletter. And he has a fantastic story to tell about being an Episcopal priest and then an Anglican priest and looking for an authority structure and some guidance and some adherence to scripture as an Episcopal priest and Anglican and really was kind of driven out of his denominations looking for this faith that really respected the scriptures and tradition. And he is recently, I gather, or fairly recently now, either a transitional deacon or a full-blown priest, a Catholic priest. Amazing story to tell. So him and I are going to dig into his conversion story and dig deeper, too, into the idea of branch theory, this idea that the Anglican Church is a branch of the Catholic Church. This is what a lot of Anglo-Catholics would adhere to. I've on this show, talked about it before, too, with different Anglican converts I've had on this program, the idea that the Anglican Church is a branch of Catholicism, an offshoot, if you will, a remnant of some kind. And so Father Scott and I will dig deeply into this topic, and he'll explain, because this, for him, was a big part of his thinking as an Anglican and an Episcopalian. And he'll explain to us why he changed his mind on that and what changed his mind on the validity of this branch theory idea. I'm also going to speak to Father Lawrence Liu, who's a Dominican friar living in the UK. I followed him on Facebook for a long, long time. He is a real champion of the Rosary. That's kind of the charism of the group he's with, or at least his charism as a member of these Dominican friars in the UK. And I recently discovered that he's actually a convert, which I did not know. And so I reached out to him on Twitter, and he wrote back immediately to say, yes, I want to be in your show. Let's work this out. Time zones are always a challenge, interviewing somebody in the UK, because there's a 5 or 6 hour difference from where I am here in Canada. But he was very eager to right away jump on board and say, yes, I want to be in your show. Tell my story. I'd love to. And so his story sounds fantastic. Again, I love these priest conversion stories, because it's one thing to convert like I did, other converts have done. That's a big deal, to shift a paradigm like that. But to give up sometimes, in the case of Father Scott, who we'll speak to, he was an Anglican priest, so gave up his livelihood, gave up his actual income for his family, because he was married, of course, to become a Catholic, not knowing for sure if he'd be able to be ordained or not as a Catholic priest and continue his ministry and receive money for that. So it's a matter of incredible faith. And those priests who become priests, that don't leave the priesthood. That's for me, very interesting, because someone like Father Lawrence or Father Joshua, to convert and then become a priest is you're all in at that point, right? So that's a big commitment to that conversion and a big decision and lots of faith required in that. So I love hearing those stories, what brought somebody to that much assurity. Like you're so assured of your conversion to become a priest, right? To give up the idea of a wife and a family and the vocation of that brings of marriage. So an awesome interview. He tells me that he was raised Brethren in an evangelical Pentecostal church after that, and this sounds really fantastic story, how he used to think that Catholics were hellbound, he says, and became Catholic himself. So again, a similar background to my own background as an evangelical Pentecostal. So excited to hear his story. And I must say, fantastic accent. We love the accents on this show, as I'll mention in a minute as well when I play a clip from somebody else, but always enjoyable for our American and Canadian listeners to hear those different accents from around the world. I gotta say, it's great. So that's a bunch of priest guests coming up, but who else is going to come on the show? So I have Eric Robinson coming back on the show already. If you've heard the episode with Eric Robinson, just the last episode that I recorded, we had a great conversation with the sacraments, and he's going to come back really quickly because he's a dynamic guy, a great speaker, lots of awesome ideas to share, and perfect for the audience of this podcast. So I'm going to have him back to talk about his new book on the idea of the church and the visible church and church unity, because this too for me was huge in my conversion. It was for Eric as well. This idea that, is there a visible church? And if not, well, then how do we understand what Christ says when he speaks of starting a church and speaks of church unity in John 17? And in Matthew, the idea of, if you and your brother are having an argument, bring it to the church, right? This is a classic conundrum for Protestants, because if there's no visible church to bring an argument to, I can bring that to my pastor of my non-denominational church or even my denominational church. Look at the Anglican Church or the Episcopal Church, for example, thinking of our guests coming up, right? You bring a debate or an argument there, and if others disagree with you, they just go in and start an offshoot of that church, or they go and just to a more liberal wing of that church, or they go to the church down the street that agrees with them, right? This is the conundrum of, if there's no visible church to actually say, okay, you are either in this church that believes this, or you're not, that becomes a problem for Pentecostals, or sorry, for Protestants, Pentecostals too, but for Protestants. So I'm going to have Eric on the show. He's a convert as well, writes fantastically on these things, to talk about the idea of the visible church and church unity and the importance of these things from a convert's perspective and what the Catholics believe about this now as Catholics. So lots of awesome stuff coming up, and I have a bunch more guests too that I'm trying to track down on that I have not quite fully confirmed or nailed down a time yet, so I can't really mention those guests yet, but some fantastic guests coming up. And I have for you too some clips to play. I have a number of episodes that are already recorded and produced and kind of waiting in the wings. I released early to my patrons one episode, access to Gary Machuda's episode talking about the Protestant problem of the canon. I'll play a clip for you in a second of that show, but patrons have early access to that show in the patrons only special feed that they have access to. So if you want to get access to other episodes or any of the episodes I play clips from here, become a patron. That'd be a fantastic idea. At patreon.com/cordialcatholic and get access to early episodes like that and clips like these of upcoming things. So I want to play first for you a clip from Gary Matsuda. We sat down to talk about, as I said, the Protestant problem of the canon. So I had Gary on a number of episodes ago, about 20 or so episodes ago, which seems like forever ago now. We chatted about the deuterocanonical books and why Catholic Bibles are bigger. And Gary is the expert in this field, written a number of books on this, and he's just an absolute encyclopedia of knowledge on these topics. And so we sat down for this episode to talk about what is the problem if the Protestant Bible is missing books, right? Because his thesis is that it is missing books, and this is, I mean, historically true and pretty traceable, despite some opposition. I mean, it's a matter of fact. In a large sense, a historical fact that these books were in the canon for the majority of the Christian of Christian history. So Gary contests that, you know, that's a problem if they're removed. And I developed a thesis around this idea, which essentially is if these books are removed, which we argue that they were, then Protestants are missing an important part of their theology. Things like prayers for the dead, purgatory, things like the communion of the saints. A lot of these things, early understandings of the Trinity, Gary argues, are these things are developed, are understood in these deuterocanonical books that kind of stand in between the Old Testament that Protestants have in their Bible and the New Testament. There are these books that kind of stand in place in between those that really, we argue, were removed by the Reformers. And so if those books are missing, you know, my argument was, well, then that's a problem for Protestants who base their faith on the Bible. They're missing things like the saints and purgatory and these kinds of things. So here's a clip of Gary and I chatting about this briefly. The full episode's available now for patrons at patreon.com/cordialcatholic and comes out next week for everybody else. Here's a clip of Gary unpacking an idea here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, even apart from the doctrinal stuff, you know, like purgatory and free will and things like that, these books represent the doctrinal development of the Jews from 200 BC to right around, you know, 50 years before Christ. And there, through God's providence, there is a lot of doctrinal development in terms of that lays the groundwork for the Trinity in these books. In fact, on my channel, Apocrypha Apocalypse, I did a couple of live shows with William Albrecht. And we went into, as you know, William debates Muslims and atheists and stuff. And Trinity is part of his forte. And so we went into the books of Sirach and Wisdom and Baruch. And we showed how, not only that these verses anticipate Jesus Christ and shine light into, especially on the Gospel of John, but it was used in the early church to formulate Trinitarian doctrine, which are very key doctrines. So, you know, even apart from Catholic, Protestant, intramural contention or whatever, Protestants are missing out because they're missing this necessary step that leads from Judaism to the forefront of Christianity.
Yeah, So there's a small clip of Gary and I talking about the idea of what's missing when you are missing these books from your Bible. So great episode available now for patrons at patreon.com/cordialcatholic. Comes out next week for everybody else. So looking forward to that. It was a great conversation and happy to release it to the wide world and hear your feedback on that. I also spoke to you heard Gary mention William Albrecht. After a conversation was over, Gary and I chatted for a bit afterwards on Skype, and he mentioned this book by William Albrecht and Father Christian Kappas that's on Mary, All But Mary. It's the definitive guide to biblical problems on Mary. It's called Mary Among the Evangelists. And so it digs into the history of understanding of Mary and the early church fathers and how they interpreted or understood the scriptures as they're written about Mary. So it takes Mary and looks at her through a scriptural lens and through the lens of the early church fathers. And it's a really fantastic book. As Gary mentioned to me in our conversation afterwards, it's really, really groundbreaking in some of the things that it brings back to the fore. I mean, it discovers things, you know, as Gary said, it's very rare that a book on Catholic theology or Catholic doctrine or dogma or whatever really discovers certain things. I mean, it is a long tradition of the Catholic faith, 2,000 years old, longer than that in Judaism. And it's rare that a book would discover things. Often you find things that are kind of not rehashed, but things that are presented in a new way or unfolded in a new way. But what William and Father Christian Kappas have done is really bring back some of these understandings of Scripture, of who Mary is, through the lens of the early church fathers that really have kind of been forgotten, in a sense. So it's really a kind of a new resourcement of ressourcement in French. This idea of coming back to the sources of some of these thinking, some of the things that we thought about Mary and how we understand her. And it's a really fantastic episode to present, I think, to non-Christian Catholics, because it just takes the Bible and then those very first interpreters of the Bible and says, look, here's what the early Christians understood when they read these scriptures that sound a lot like what Catholics believe. So you take something like the Annunciation, right? You take something like the wedding at Cana or something. You take these different ideas, different things that we see in the Bible, in the scriptures, and you look at that through the scriptural lens. You let scripture interpret scripture by bringing in other ideas. And you see things like Mary as the new ark. You see Mary saying things that look like what David said when the ark came to him. You see things that have certain echoes in scripture. And then, as William and Father do so well, you see how the early church fathers, the very first Christian interpreters of the scripture, also saw these things. So it's a really remarkable book. It's not a long book. It's easy to read as well. And just, oh man, great conversation, a fantastic interview. Here's a small clip, and I think it's William talking in this clip. We'll see, I'll let you know afterward. Like, I forget what clip I queued up here, but here's a small clip of that interview about the historical and biblical Mary.
Yeah, that's the incredible thing. By the way, I'm also a convert. I would have used that as well. But the incredible thing is when we allow scripture to kind of really unfold and provide the answers for us, which should really provide the key to any good evangelical. They should, and we've indeed had fantastic feedback with people saying, wow, you guys are letting the Bible provide the answers within the very text itself. Because if we look at the text, we notice that there's a play in words occurring here. In Luke 1, the word of the Lord, the Logos, comes to Zechariah. Now, what does he do? He hears the word of God, and he doesn't believe it. He's muted. So you see clearly the play on the word. The Logos is said to Mary by the angel, the word, and she believes. So she hears the Logos from the angel. She vouchsafes it. She keeps it. So what is really the only story that Luke could be referring to in Luke 11? Which one? It is clear. And the patristic interpretation is very clear. As by the way, we get it directly from the fathers. They recognize this as well, because Christ is not denying the blessedness of his mother. Rather, he's making it very clear. The conclusion is that Luke wants us to recognize that Christ is saying that rather he wants us to draw from the text that rather than being blessed for a biological kind of praise, Mary's yes is declared blessed because she's the first one who heard the word, the Logos, who then believed, unlike Sarah and unlike Zechariah. She is the one that kept the word and even said, that is why we read that from Augustine, Mary was more blessed in accepting the faith than in conceiving the flesh of Christ. I mean, it may be a conundrum, but wrapping your mind around that, it's incredible. And it really allows the text to kind of unfold.
Yeah, so that's a fantastic episode. You're talking there about the idea of Mary and what her yes meant and how that yes resonates in scripture elsewhere in this typological framework. It's fantastic. That's episode number 88 coming out December 2nd, that episode is. A little sneak preview there for you with William Albrecht and Father Christian Kappas. And I'm already going to have them back on the show too, because they're writing a book on the Eucharist and on transubstantiation, so which is due to come out sometime before Christmas, they promised me, 2020. So they're already on the schedule again to come back on the show in the new year and talk about that idea, because again, if we can see hints of this idea in the scriptures, which I think we arguably could say we do as Catholics, and then of course, if the first interpreters of the scripture also see these things, same with Mary. I mean, that presents a really interesting perspective. So episode 88 is that episode with William Albrecht and Father Christian Kappas on the historical and biblical Mary. Episode 89 on December 9th, coming out, is going to be an episode with Rod Bennett. Rod is a favorite guest of mine. He's fantastic on the early church. He's written a number of books on the early church, including Four Witnesses, which I can't tell you the amount of times that people have cited that book as assisting them in their conversion. The early church fathers are for many converts, one of those big deals. I mean, big things that kind of leads you towards the Catholic Church. You realize that the earliest Christians looked and acted and talked a lot like Catholics. I had Marcus Grodi on this show near the beginning of this show a long time ago now. I think back in the episode, numbered in the 20s back then, I think somewhere. And I asked him the question of what he hears as the most common thing people cite in their conversions, and often is the early church fathers, the witness of those very first Christians. And so Rod is an expert in the early church fathers, in the early church, and I had him on episode all about the idea of is the early church Catholic, and how do we know this, and what do the early church fathers tell us about the Catholicity and how that early church looked. And he ended our conversation with an absolute zinger. Just, man, I don't know, a challenge amongst challenges. I haven't heard this exact challenge before, but it's pretty amazing, pretty robust. And I sent this also to my evangelical friend Austin. I shared this challenge. I sent him I essentially sent him the soundbite over iMessage, and he said, "Yeah, wow." That's a doozy. It's a great challenge he offers to end the episode. And I actually had more questions queued up to ask him in our conversation. And I thought, nope, I'm just going to stop right there, because that's a great way of ending the episode. And so here's a little clip of my conversation with Rod Bennett, coming out on December 8th, probably earlier for patrons. Again, give them early access. Here's Rod Bennett talking about his challenge to non-Catholic Christians when it comes to the early church fathers.
You know, I sometimes, when I'm engaged with evangelical inquirers who are friends of mine, and I don't have to worry about too much about hurting their feelings, I tell them, which of the early fathers, after you've become aware of some of the early fathers and what they said and what they did, which of them would you accept as a Sunday school teacher at your church? Name one early church father that would be acceptable as a pastor or a Bible teacher at your denomination or at your local church. Pick one. Yes, they all say many things that sound evangelical from time to time. That's because evangelicalism is contained within Catholicism. Evangelicalism is an abridgment of Catholicism. So yes, the early fathers very often say things that are perfectly acceptable at one of today's evangelical churches. But they also say lots of things that aren't acceptable at today's evangelical churches. And I'm challenging you to find one of them who not only says the evangelical things, but also doesn't say the Catholic things.
Fantastic challenge from Rod Bennett. A really good one. Something to really consider. I love it. So great episode coming out later in December, and early access for patrons of this podcast as well. To that episode, as soon as I finish producing it, adding the intro and outro and doing some sound cleanup there to finish producing that. So yeah, stuff to look forward to. And lots more too. Things that are not quite booked yet. I'm yelling back and forth with a few people to work out some dates, and I can't quite announce those yet. And some panels as well coming up. I love doing panel shows and getting some multiple perspectives. I'm working on one I'm calling The Convert's Guide to the Eucharist. I'm working on one on John 6. So a whole panel, a whole hour and a half, 2 hours, just talking about John 6. I want to get Lawrence Feingold on that panel. I'm sure he'll agree. He's always happy to come back on the show. Just to unpack that chapter of John, because it's so formative and fundamental. And I mean, Christ speaks quite literally about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And as evangelical, you know, that's something that I had nowhere in my wheelhouse of understanding was that idea. Yet it's right there in scripture. So I want to talk about how we understand that and bring some converts on to talk about that, as well as an episode just on the Eucharist in general from a convert's perspective. I want to do a panel as well on some of the abuses in the church, tackle that as well. I have before with Bishop Thomas Dowd back in the archives, which was fantastic. I want to get maybe a panel show about that to unpack that, and a panel on the church. I'm going to have Eric Robinson, I mentioned, coming up, talking about his new book on church unity and on the visible church. I want to get a panel too, though, with some pastors, because I'm thinking of my friend Keith Nestor as well, who I love having on this show. He's a fantastic guest whenever I have him on. He's always very popular too amongst the audience. I want to get him back on because he was a pastor who dealt with these things, these questions of church unity. And so I'm shopping around for a few more guests to put on that panel. But I want to do a panel of Protestant pastors talking about the idea of the visible church and what that means, and how when there's a problem with that, how do you work that out if there's no authority to go to, if the church is just invisible and we're all part of that church, yet we believe all kinds of different things on fundamental things too, big important topics. So lots of awesome stuff coming up. And I want to give you an update too on what's happening here in the Cordial Catholic Studios. I put that in air quotes. Next week, which will be the third week of November, work begins on the small closet, which is being converted into a bit of a studio space. And so I move out of this room to make way for our daughter moving in here when our third child is born, and moving me downstairs, refurbishing or renovating a small little, what was a closet, into a little studio nook. I don't know. That sounds cooler than turning a closet into, I don't know, a bigger closet for me to go inside and record podcasts. But I have my patron to thank, guys. So I have you to thank for helping to fund those kind of things. This podcast would quite literally have to end if I couldn't find some small amount of funding to renovate that space into a studio space. This podcast would quite literally have to end because there's nowhere else for me to go in this house as we keep taking over bedrooms for children. So thank you to you guys who support this show. This episode is a small way of thanking you. So hopefully you enjoy this, and thank you for supporting the show. If you're listening on the main feed and want to support this show and get more episodes like this and get early access to some of the guests I mentioned and entered into draws for free books for $5 or more patrons, it's at patreon.com/cordialcatholic. And thanks for even considering that. Thank you for even considering helping to support this show and the work that we do. I can't tell you how grateful I am, how blessed I feel to be able to sit down behind this microphone every week and have these interviews and talk to these guests and bring these guests to the wider world. I get such great feedback, and it's very humbling. And I feel like I just owe it to you guys to help underpin this show. And you know, to God for using a vessel like me. I mean, it's incredible. Week after week that I get to do this. It's kind of a dream come true, and I couldn't have imagined it. I mean, I think back to 15 years old as an evangelical, a new evangelical. I mean, I was saved at the age of 15 or so. I couldn't imagine, I mean, 15 plus years later, thinking of sitting and doing this. I mean, it's I guess 20 years. I shouldn't sell myself short and pretend that I'm not getting older. I couldn't imagine 20 years later, you know, sitting behind a microphone and doing this, talking to Catholics, talking to people thinking about converting to the Catholic faith and bringing these stories and these ideas and these filling in these gaps between what Catholics, what you think Catholics believe and what we actually do. I mean, I'm blessed to do this. So thank you to those supporting this show. Thanks to those considering supporting this show. And thank you for listening to this episode of the Patrons Only Behind the Scenes Cordial Catholic After Show. Thanks, guys. Enjoy the next episode coming out next week. That'll be Gary Machuda's episode number 86 on the Protestant problem of the Bible. And hope you enjoyed this bonus episode for those listening in the main feed. Thanks so much, guys. Pray for me. I'm praying for you, and God bless. This show is brought to you in a special way by our co-producer patrons over at patreon.com/cordialcafe. A special thanks to Ellie and Tom, Kelvin and Susan, Stephen, Suzanne and Victor, Phil, Noah, Nicole, Michelle, Jordan, John, James, Gina, and Aram for your special support at the co-producer tier and making this thing possible. You guys are fantastic. God bless and thanks for your support.